Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, bringing you the latest in AI, space, and beyond.
And I'm here too. Today, we're looking at a pretty intense power struggle brewing in Washington over who gets to control the next generation of AI models.
Plus, we've got British regulators sounding the alarm over AI-driven cyber threats to the financial system, and a wild new space startup planning to put AI data centers in orbit.
It's a packed show. Let's get right into it.
Our first story today is a fascinating look at the internal dynamics of the U.S. government when it comes to artificial intelligence. According to a report in the Washington Post, there is a massive turf war happening right now in the Trump administration over who gets to regulate advanced AI models.
And turf war might be putting it mildly. The Post actually quoted an insider who described the situation as a knife fight. You have intelligence officials making a very aggressive push to take oversight power away from the Commerce Department. They want the authority to evaluate these frontier models themselves before they are released.
Right, and the timing here is critical. President Trump is reportedly considering signing an executive order on AI security as soon as Monday, May 11th, 2026. This administration came in with a very clear America-first deregulation mandate, specifically promising to promote AI innovation and reduce bureaucratic red tape. But the sheer capability of these new models is forcing a serious pivot inside the West Wing.
The specific catalyst seems to be the emergence of models like Anthropic's Mythos. The intelligence community is looking at Mythos and realizing that its ability to identify software vulnerabilities is far beyond what we've seen previously. It's faster than human analysts by a significant margin. So for the spy agencies, this isn't just a tech sector product anymore. It's a dual-use weapon that poses immediate cybersecurity threats.
Exactly. And that creates a fundamental clash in philosophy. The economic officials in the administration, and folks over at Commerce, want to let the industry run. They worry that heavy-handed regulation will just hand the strategic advantage to Chinese technological advancements. But the national security aides are arguing for something much closer to FDA-style safety testing. They want to tear these models apart in classified environments before the public ever gets their hands on them.
Which raises a huge question for the tech industry. What happens if the intelligence agencies become the primary gatekeepers for AI model releases? Historically, dealing with the Commerce Department is one thing. They understand trade, they understand business, and they try to foster growth. But if you have to get clearance from the NSA or the CIA to push a new foundational model, the entire development cycle could grind to a halt.
And it's not just about speed. It's about transparency. If a model is delayed or rejected by an intelligence agency, you might not even be legally permitted to know why. The criteria for what constitutes a national security risk in a neural network could be completely classified. You can't just file a FOIA request to find out why your wheats were confiscated.
It's a massive shift in how we view software. We've spent the last few years arguing over copyright, training data, and bias in AI, and now suddenly the conversation has escalated to cyber warfare and national security directives. It's going to be very interesting to see what actually makes it into that executive order on Monday, and whether the intelligence agencies get the sweeping authority they're asking for, or if Commerce manages to hold the line. Speaking of the fallout from models like Mythos, our next story looks at how this exact same technological leap is playing out in the financial sector. Reuters is reporting that Britain's bank regulator is bracing for what they call quite significant disruption from the latest AI models.
Yes, this comes directly from Sam Woods, the CEO of the Prudential Regulation Authority, or PRA, and he specifically name-dropped Anthropic's Mythos as well as ChatGPT 5.5 Inskent. Woods is warning that these models are so good at rapidly identifying system vulnerabilities that they fundamentally change the threat landscape for banks and the broader financial system.
The core issue here is patching. The PRA has identified that delays in patching software vulnerabilities are already the main driver of outages in the financial system today. Banks are notoriously slow at updating legacy systems. But when an AI model can scan your entire infrastructure and find 0 days in minutes, the window you have to apply a patch shrinks from weeks or months down to almost zero.
It's a terrifying prospect for a bank CIO. But what's interesting is the slightly mixed messaging coming out of the UK. While Woods is sounding the alarm, a cyber group co-led by the Bank of England actually released a determination last month saying that the financial sector is currently prepared for these specific AI-driven challenges.
That discrepancy is fascinating. On one hand, you have the Bank of England saying, "We've run the tabletop exercises, the banks have the necessary defenses, we are prepared." And on the other hand, the head of the PRA is publicly saying, "Expect significant disruption." It makes you wonder if Woods is using this warning as a proactive stick to force banks to modernize their IT stacks faster, rather than waiting for a breach.
I think that's highly likely. Regulators know that banks drag their feet on expensive legacy migrations. By pointing to Mythos and ChatGPT 5.5 Instant, Woods is basically saying that the old way of doing things, scheduling a maintenance window 3 months out to patch a known vulnerability, is no longer viable. You need AI-powered defenses to counter AI-powered attacks, and you need automated patching pipelines.
But how do regulators balance that? Because they are also the ones who traditionally enforce strict change management controls. You can't just deploy automated patches to a core banking mainframe without rigorous testing, because a bad patch can take down the payment system just as easily as a cyber attack. We've seen fat finger updates bring down global airline and banking infrastructure before.
It's the ultimate catch-22. Move too slow, and an AI-enabled attacker breaches your systems, stealing customer data or holding you for ransom. Move too fast with automated patching, and you break the bank yourself. The regulators are essentially demanding that banks become as agile as Silicon Valley tech companies, which is a monumental cultural and technical shift for institutions that still rely on mainframes running COBOL.
And it all ties back to the capabilities of these new models. If Mythos is causing panic in the Pentagon and the Bank of England simultaneously, it really underscores that we've crossed a threshold in what AI can do in the cybersecurity domain. The days of human speed cyber warfare are over.
Our final deep dive today takes us from Washington and London all the way to low Earth orbit. A startup called Cowboy Space Corporation has just raised a staggering $275 million in a Series B funding round, pushing their valuation to a massive $2 billion.
And if the name Baiju Bot sounds familiar, it's because he is the co-founder of Robinhood. He founded Cowboy Space, which was formerly known as Aetherflux, back in 2024. But what's really wild here is their pivot. They originally started out looking at space-based solar power, but they've shifted their entire mission to building vertically integrated orbital data centers.
Right. The pitch is that terrestrial data centers are hitting a wall when it comes to power availability, grid capacity, and even cooling water. AI compute demands are just too high for the current grid to support. So Cowboy Space's solution is to build their own rockets, launch them, and then have the rocket's upper stage actually function as a 1 megawatt data center while it remains in orbit.
It's an incredibly ambitious concept. They are targeting 2028 for their first rocket launch, which is right around the corner in aerospace timelines. And they aren't just cobbling together off-the-shelf server racks, they are collaborating directly with NVIDIA to deploy what they call Space One Vera Rubin modules, specifically designed for in-orbit AI compute.
I have to say, the engineering hurdles here sound almost insurmountable for a startup, even with $275 million in the bank. Building a reliable, reusable rocket from scratch is hard enough. SpaceX and Blue Origin spent billions and years of explosions getting there. But Cowboy Space wants to simultaneously engineer an orbital data center? The thermal management alone is a nightmare. In space, you don't have air to carry heat away from those massive NVIDIA GPUs. You have to radiate it all away into the vacuum.
Exactly. And radiation is the other huge problem. Standard terrestrial silicon degrades very quickly when exposed to cosmic rays and solar flares. They'll either need heavy physical shielding, which adds mass and launch cost, or they'll need specialized radiation-hardened chips, which usually trail behind state-of-the-art AI performance by several generations.
Plus, what is the actual latency benefit? If you are running AI inference in low Earth orbit, you still have to beam the data up and down via laser links or RF. For high-frequency trading or real-time autonomous driving, that round-trip latency might be a deal-breaker.
For batch processing or training massive models, maybe the latency doesn't matter. But then why go through the astronomical expense of putting it in space?
Their argument seems to be purely about energy scarcity on Earth. If you can generate a megawatt of power via massive solar arrays in orbit with zero atmospheric interference, and you don't have to deal with local zoning laws, environmental reviews, or grid interconnect queues, maybe the math works out. But the vertical integration strategy, building both the rocket and the payload, feels like they are taking on maximum capital risk.
It definitely feels like a boom times bet. The fact that Index Ventures, Andreessen Horowitz, and Breakthrough Energy Ventures are all piling into this shows just how desperate the industry is for novel solutions to the AI compute bottleneck. But hitting a 2028 launch target with a functional 1 megawatt orbital data center, that is going to be a monumental challenge to watch. All right, from orbital data centers, we're going to come back down to Earth. That's a lot of heavy infrastructure and policy for one day. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. I've got a great mix of hardware drama, coding philosophy, and some terminal UI updates today. What is first on the list?
First up, over on Hacker News, there's a big discussion around a post from Graphene OS claiming that hardware attestation is acting as a monopoly enabler.
Yeah, they're pointing specifically at Google's Play Integrity API and Apple's App Attest. The immediate trigger is Google's new reCAPTCHA mobile verification, which can actually require users to scan a QR code with a certified iOS or Android device just to prove they are human.
It's a tough situation. On one hand, using a device's secure enclave to prove it hasn't been tampered with is great for stopping botnets and fraud. But if you're using a privacy-focused custom ROM or a Linux desktop environment, you effectively get locked out of the web. It's a real threat to the open computing ecosystem.
Next, a blog post by Cyrus Lopez titled "Local AI Needs to Be the Norm" is making the rounds. He argues that developers are relying way too much on cloud APIs for simple tasks like text summarization and classification.
He points to his own iOS app, the Brutalist Report, which uses Apple's local model API to do all the summarization directly on the device. No data sent to external servers, no API subscription costs, and basically zero latency.
It's a solid point. We're seeing this shift where users and developers want data sovereignty and independence from vendor outages. If your phone's neural engine can handle the task natively, there's really no reason to round-trip that sensitive data to a cloud server farm site.
Sticking with the developer theme, a post on k10s.dev titled "I'm Going Back to Writing Code by Hand" blew up on Hacker News today. The author is pushing back hard against the heavy reliance on AI-assisted coding tools like Copilot.
The main complaint is that relying on AI to generate entire features is leading to spaghetti architectures. Developers are becoming reviewers of code they don't fully understand, creating a dangerous black box problem in their own code bases.
It's the classic pendulum swing. We rushed into agentic coding for the immediate productivity boost, but now some engineers are realizing that actually writing the logic yourself is necessary for long-term maintainability and deep system comprehension.
On a lighter note, if you want your terminal to look like something out of a sci-fi movie, check out Ratty. It's a new GPU-accelerated terminal emulator written in Rust that actually supports inline 3D graphics.
It uses a custom protocol called RGP to render .obj and .glb 3D assets right alongside your text, using the Bevy engine for the scene presentation. The creator explicitly cites the old Temple OS as an inspiration for inline document graphics.
I don't know how practical it is for daily sysadmin work or debugging logs, but as a technical experiment pushing the absolute boundaries of terminal rendering, it's incredibly cool to see.
Finally, over in the Claude Code GitHub repository, there's an interesting feature request highlighting a limitation in their voice dictation tool. Currently, the /voice command is locked to a single configured language per session.
Right. A user pointed out that if you work bilingually, say switching between Swedish and English mid-sentence, you have to either restart the session or deal with terrible transcription accuracy on the second language. They're asking for native auto-detect, or at least an in-session toggle.
It turns out the transcription engine Anthropic integrated into the CLI just lacks the dynamic multi-language support you see in tools like Whisper. It's a small friction point, but a big deal for global engineering teams trying to adopt these agentic workflows.
And that does it for today's briefing. A lot of friction out there today, whether it's in terminal dictation, orbital logistics, or White House policy.
Absolutely. You can find links to all the stories we discussed today in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, share it with a colleague, and leave us a review.
We'll see you next time on the Neuracast Tech Briefing.